This is the Veterinary Life Coach Podcast with Dr. Julie Capel, episode number 274. Hey guys, it's Julie. I just wanted to talk to you for a second before I get into this interview with Dr. Lennon Fu about communication, which is really excellent, excellent information. I know you'll enjoy it. Just wanted to remind you that I have my Wednesday weekly words coming in your email every week. If you have not signed up for that, please go to my website and do so. Let me know if there's anything you want me to talk about. It's usually quite short, so easy to read. But I send those out every week, and I would love to hear that you're actually enjoying them and reading them. So you can go to my website, theveterinarylifecoach.com, or you can email me, jacapeldvm@gmail.com, and let me know what you think. Also, you can sign up for free coaching on my website, and I would strongly recommend that you do that. Even if you just life coach once, I'd love you to get a taste of what it's really like. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It will help you with your self-care and your self-development, which I'm big into. So go to my website and check that out if you've ever thought about it, if you've ever tried it before, and you've never tried it before. Go there and get some free life coaching from me. I'd love to meet you. I think you're going to enjoy this podcast with Dr. Lennon Fu. We talk about communication with your clients and your team, all great information. And then next week, I also have him on the podcast talking about self-care. So enjoy this interview with Dr. Lennon Fu. And as always, thanks so much for listening. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Veterinary Life Coach Podcast. Today, I have an exciting repeat guest for you, Dr. Lennon Fu. And he and I promised that we would do a series of podcasts back in December. And then we kind of got sidetracked because he got called away to surgery. And so anyway, we're back to do our second set of podcasts based on both of our books, Dr. Fu's latest book, Vet for Life, and my first book, Love Your Veterinary Life. And today, yeah, hold up your book here. I want to do it too. Just so people can see, because we're very proud of our work, right? And hopefully you've all read our books, but if you haven't, please go do so on Amazon. But anyway, today we're going to talk a little bit about tips for communicating better. And I just want to let you know a brief introduction for Dr. Fu. He's the founder of Amity Veterinary Care. He's a veterinary surgeon, business owner, speaker, and author of three books, Is My Vet for Real?, Natural Power, and the new book, Vet for Life. Correct, Lennon?
That's right. Thank you very much for
that. Welcome back to the podcast, Dr. Lennon.
Thank you.
So we're going to talk about communication, which is also important, right?
Yes, absolutely. I think communication is pretty much key, really. How we communicate with others is pretty much how well we can succeed in life, including how is our communication with ourselves. So
I like that concept, right?
Also, exactly. I think so to really excel in communication, whether it's with yourself or with others, would really help you in your life in general, really. So certainly very, very important.
Right. In relationships, in the teamwork, in your hospital, as a veterinary leader, like it all comes back to communication, right?
Absolutely. I think communication is key, really. So for that, I can sort of offer a few different school of thoughts to it. The first one is, I suppose we're always communicating with two different people. One is with ourselves and one is with others. And usually the interesting thing is how well you communicate with either party would affect how well you communicate with the other party. For example, if you have very, very good communication with yourself, it's usually more likely that you're more able to relate to other people quite easily. If your communication with yourself isn't very good, isn't very healthy, you may find it a struggle to communicate with other people, especially if you've got important ideas to pass through, especially as vet surgeons. When we want to talk about diagnosis, when we want to talk about treatment and things like that, You have to convince yourself first. If you're not very sure about whether the diagnosis or treatment is the right thing to do in the first place, that may hinder the effectiveness of your communication. And more importantly, if you don't really have too much sort of a healthy self-esteem because your communication with yourself isn't great, you may also find it harder to push that particular idea across, even when you say the right facts, because it just does not sound believable.
Because you
So,
don't believe it, right?
exactly. Or you
Yeah,
don't believe in
yeah.
yourself, even though you know it's
Right.
the right fact, but if you don't believe in yourself, your external always expresses your internal.
Right.
So the results you're getting externally always starts from within. But the interesting thing is that if you can convince one party, either yourself or the other, usually the other party will get the same idea. So you can convince
Oh,
yourself
okay.
that.
So you're saying that even if you don't believe it, if you can get someone to believe it, then you'll believe it?
Over time,
Interesting. I love
you
that.
convince
Yeah,
either
because
party.
it's training, brain training, right? Because when I coach people, I'm like, you're trying to retrain your brain. You're trying to retrain your negative thoughts. You're trying to retrain your self-confidence. So, yeah, that all makes sense.
So usually I find it easier to retrain yourself first before retraining other people. It takes much more effort to convince the world that you're right for them to give you that confidence to say that you're right. It's probably easier to convince yourself first than you project your confidence and your assurance to other people as well, because you are assured yourself. How you do anything is how you do everything, really. So you
Ooh, yeah,
cannot
I love
project what
that
you
line. I
don't
think you said that once before, and I said, ooh, I love that. How you do anything is how you do everything.
Yeah,
That's a really
it's
good
hard.
quote.
Thank you. It's really hard to project confidence if you don't feel confident yourself,
Right.
especially
Yeah.
when you're dealing with pet guardians. Talking about how to take care of the pets and how to give them medication because of a particular diagnosis. It's hard to portray that sort of confidence and conviction in your speaking if you don't feel that you're a confident person yourself, which is why sometimes you may see the interesting phenomenon of you saying one thing and maybe somebody senior or a boss or a fellow colleague saying the same thing, and the pet guardian would choose to believe the other party more than you.
Right,
They're saying the
yeah,
same thing. It's not what
that's
you say, it's what they
frustrating,
say.
right?
It can be very frustrating. So there's one tip of communication, really, to learn how to communicate with yourself and convince yourself that what you're saying is right. It's so important before you can even try to change other people. As Gandhi said, be the change you wish to see in the world. You
Right.
want to change other people, you gotta change yourself first. And if you believe in it, then other people have a chance to believe in it.
I love that.
Other things about communication, I suppose it is very easy to. So basically, how should I frame this? I suspect, similar for myself, if you're a vet, whether in UK or US, your clinical expertise is taken for granted. Nobody questions that. So they
Right.
expect the animal to be healed. They don't bring an animal to the vets without thinking there's some form of help for the animal. My question would be, how much are you helping the guardian as well? Because it's one thing helping the animal, which I feel is obviously important. That's what we all train for. But I'm sort of humbly offering that that could be a very short-sighted way of saying it, because we can produce so much more. We can also make the guardian feel assured. So the communication is not purely clinical, but you also have to see how the guardian feels as well. And I suspect that as a profession, we can provide so much more than just clinical expertise. We can provide sort of a client. We're just not just treating the animal, but treating the client as well. There will be a much more wholesome effect or results that we get, not just with the client, but I suspect for us internally as well, that we will
Right.
feel better ourselves. Because
Yeah.
fundamentally, we are very good at treating animals, which is why that's where the primary education has focused on in our vet career, in our vet university, and things like that. How to treat a cat abscess, how to treat hypothyroidism in a dog, things like that. However, I feel there's only half of the equation. The other half is what happens to the pet guardian that actually brought the animal in. You can almost say that the condition is almost easy or straightforward to a certain extent, but the more complicated factors are the people who bring the animals in And us being vets, yes, we are interested in the clinical sort of set of things, but we should not forget the emotional bond between the guardian and the animal as well. And if we can address that bond a little bit more as well, we are able to provide more value than just treating the animal medical condition. For example, if someone brings in the animal to say that my dog is lame, for example, which is quite a common thing, and any, well, I'll say, I'd like to say any qualified vet would probably be doing a great job in asking, okay, so what exactly happened? How long has it been lame for? And going through the clinical history pertaining to the lameness itself. And most people would do a great job out of it.
Yeah, we can
And
figure that out
there isn't
easily,
huge difference to that. So I like to look at every single consultation as 3-degree pain, 3 levels of pain.
right?
Okay,
Okay.
so the top level, pain level number one, is the most superficial problem, which is my dog is lame. Okay, then that is where we usually focus on when we don't go any further. And if we only provide value to solve that level pain, we would be good. We would be, how to say, we would be appreciated for solving that level pain. But
Competent, you know.
if you can dig deeper, you can solve more problems, it's even better. So what do I mean by the second level pain? So the first one is, like I said, the dog is lame. Okay, most of us can probably get the dog back to soundness again, whether it is surgery, whether it's rest, whether it's some form of advice to make sure the dog is sorted. So that is fairly easy to sort. That's what we train for. The second level would be pertaining how asking the pet guardian, how is this actually affecting your life? And maybe it has totally thrown them off their regime of walking the dog. They're not able to walk the dog. So their life is changed a little bit. Not just a, so the problem isn't just the dog being lame. The problem is their own lives are changed, their own routine is disrupted. They're not able to do
Right.
what they want to do. And we know how disturbing it is for our routine to be disrupted.
Right.
That
Yeah.
is the second level pain. You can
That's
address that
absolutely true.
even
Yeah. I had
better.
a good example of that yesterday. One of my mom's neighbor's dogs got attacked by another dog a couple days ago and had to go in and get stitches and the whole nine yards and on antibiotics and pain meds. Well, the next day they had the dog out running in the dog park again. And it, like, they just didn't get that this dog might need rest and it might be still sore. And, you know, and I
Exactly.
laughed because I thought, why would they do that? But when you say it disrupted their routine, that's what they did every day. They couldn't figure out, you
Yeah,
know, that
thank you.
they had to rest the dog.
Absolutely. Then after that, so that's a routine. Then once that, so that is still fairly sort of external to some extent. Then the third level pain would be much deeper. Maybe they're asking themselves, did I cause this? Am I a bad dog guardian? Did I
Like
cause this
guilt. They
lameness?
have guilt. Yeah.
Okay, so they may have guilt. I'm not saying they will, but they may, to
They
say
might, right?
they have a worry over there. And if they're in a consult room and we have asked all the questions pertaining to the first level pain about why the dog is lame, how long has it been lame, has it done anything different, all these sort of things, great, we have done our job, but I think that there is so much more that we could do. For example, if it's a cruciate issue, we know it's highly unlikely for it to be a traumatic reason to be a cruciate issue. Usually it's genetic, i.e., the pet guardians didn't do anything. The dog could have gotten lame at any time, whether it's jumping off a couch or just walking. So if we can remind or reassure the pet guardian, say that just in case you're feeling guilty, there's nothing to do with you at all, okay? Because it's more likely than not that your dog is going to get cruciate issues anyway, and it can happen anytime. It's not because you took the dog out for a longer walk or whatever. And if we can address that as well, coming from a position of authority as the vet, telling them it's probably not your fault, is pretty powerful. So my question is that for communication, what are we actually communicating? Are we just purely delving on level one pain, talking about the clinical stuff? Or are we actually trying to improve the bond between the pet guardian and the animal? And if we do so, I believe that, we're providing much, so much more value than what we can actually are currently providing if we are just interested in the clinical issue itself. And therefore, this is just a sort of personal philosophy. I don't expect everybody to take this. One of the biggest issues that we have in both continents, in US and UK, is that many vets, they feel underappreciated. They feel like undervalued and things like that. So my question would be, okay, so how are you deriving your gratification of gratitude from? And most vets, I mean, not most, like many vets, what they like most is to treat the animal. And some of them even say that, if only I could treat the animal and not the guardian, it'd be so much easier and
The
things like
people
this. The COVID
outside.
was
I don't want to
amazing,
deal with them.
You just saw the animal without the guardian, and everyone was like, whoa, that's so good.
Right.
But I like to think differently, really. I have this phrase whereby I believe that what we are doing is that we are embracing humanity through veterinary medicine.
Yes.
So I believe that every single job that anybody has, like if you are a lawyer, you're embracing humanity through law, because in the end, you're still dealing with people.
Right.
So say if you're a cobbler, for example, you make shoes, you're embracing humanity through collaboration, through shoemaking, because you're making shoes for people. You don't make the shoes for fun. You make shoes for people. Just like us, when we treat animals, yes, it's the animals that interest us, which is why we become vets. But let's not forget the animal has got a bond with the guardian. We're treating the animal for the guardian. So we're also embracing humanity from that aspect to be able to, for me, how I see it, my job is more complete if I'm addressing both the guardian and their pet to help the bond in between. That's what my job is, rather than just trying to save all the animals in the world, so to speak.
Right.
When
And
you
I think,
start doing,
oh,
sorry.
go ahead. I don't want to cut you off. Go ahead.
When you start doing that, okay, for example, when you have a cat that is feisty, okay, has an abscess, I promise you the cat has got no gratitude for you whatsoever, even when you treat it. Okay, if you're trying to get gratitude and that's how you feel good about yourself because you get a gratitude from a cat, you're going to be very disappointed, even when you do your job of treating the cat.
Right.
However, when you actually address a pet guardian, so it's a pet guardian who's going to be feel more grateful, more appreciative of your work. Hence, the importance of being able to interact very, very well with a pet guardian, i.e., embracing humanity because you're talking to another person, not another cat, another person. And that's where you can transfer your energy to get more energy back from them, because they are the one who's going to feel more grateful. So even when you're done your job sorting the animal out, if you didn't address, if you failed to address the guardian's need, the concern, the three levels of pain that I discussed, even when you sort the lameness out or the abscess out, the pet guardian may still be not as appreciative as it could be if you had communicated with the pet guardian much better. That's my whole take on it. So,
Right. Yeah, I
and as
totally
vets,
agree.
we will get so much more from a consultation, rather than just, oh yeah, I've treated 20 animals today, I'm feeling good. Or you could say I've treated 20 animals and their guardians, and you're more likely to get a gratitude, whether it is in the form of just saying thank you very much, a feeling of goodness, the goodwill, or increasing your income because they're willing to pay you more for making them feel better about themselves. You get it from the guardians, not the animals. The
Right.
animals
And that's
don't pay your
absolutely
wages.
key because the animals wouldn't be there without their pet guardians, right? They can't walk in on their own. And I think that it's such an important concept for us to remember that we're treating the people more than the pets in a lot of ways because
Absolutely.
it's teamwork, right? Because they're not going to give the drugs if you don't give them a good reason to give the drugs. They're not going to rest the dog if they don't believe that the dog needs to be rested. And so that communication part of it is so important. And I think it actually helps us feel better about our work if we build those closer relationships with the people.
Yeah, I mean, we are in such a position of power that sometimes we forget how well qualified we are to say certain things that means extra to other people. For example, if they're coming for a booster or just a general health check, there's nothing wrong with the animal. If they're doing well, like, keeping the weight well, keeping the eyes healthy, keeping the teeth healthy, if they should be brushing, any sort of things like this, just a simple phrase from us telling them, your pet is thriving under your care, well done. It is so much better than anybody else saying it, like somebody on the street. It's almost like David Beckham telling you, you play good football. Or, it's like better
Yeah.
than your mother telling you, wow, you're playing such a good football. It's like, yeah, but you know nothing.
Yeah.
But when we are all about the health of the animals, empower the guardians to say that you're doing a great job, that your pet is caught. Obviously thriving under your care, coming from us, it is so much more powerful. A simple sentence that costs us nothing, and obviously
Right.
we mean it, to empower them to feel better about themselves. Why wouldn't we do it compared to just say, yeah, okay, no, good job, next.
Well, and if you don't believe that, go in with your own pet to another veterinarian. It's a humbling experience. Like, I had to take my dog to a specialist recently in October, and being on the other side, like, I craved that. Okay, you did the right thing. You diagnosed him correctly, like, whatever. You want them to tell you that you're doing a good job with your own pet. And so if you don't believe that's true, try taking your pet to another doctor and getting an opinion, and embrace that feeling of vulnerability and just wanting to hear that your pet is okay or going to be okay. It's
a very
powerful.
good point. That's a very, very good point. I think that's a very, very interesting experiment or experience to try as vets. What if you are standing on the other side of the table? How does it feel, so to speak?
Yeah,
and
it's a whole different experience.
Paraphrasing Robin Williams in Patch Adams, you know, when you treat an animal, you may win or you lose. When you treat the pet guardian, you win all the time.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, that's so important. Well, I love that. So how, I don't want to pull you off. Do we have more to say about that?
No, I mean, I just, so add, so fundamentally for communication is learning how to speak to people. There are a lot of good books out there to talk about how to relate to other people. And I think the key thing is just to understand how important it is, because you can be the best diagnostician, but you can't communicate, nothing happens.
Right.
So we've always had this question in vet college, which who is a better vet? The vet that come out with the vet who can find the most or diagnose the rarest disease and come out with the trickiest combination of medication or treatment plan, or the vet who can convince the pet guardian to give the tablets 5 times a day. So, which is better? Obviously, both are important, but just bear in mind it is a balance. It's not just all the scientific stuff, which vet medicine has gone so much, so advanced. We're doing things which nobody was doing 30 years ago. However,
right.
Has the communication changed? Has the communication improved as well? Have we embraced the humanity through veterinary medicine? Or have we just been doing this for the scientific part of it, and that's what we're interested in, losing or forgetting about the human behind it and how much good we can also do to the human side of things rather than just the animals? That's my take on it.
And it's
Just
so
the bad
rewarding.
Part.
If you think you don't like people, like some vets say, well, I don't like people, so I became a vet. Then try to think of people as animals, because they actually are. They're just mammals, right? That can
Yeah,
talk.
They're a bit
And
more
so you're
complicated,
like,
but yes,
oh, well, maybe I can treat them just as well. If I understand myself and understand them, it's going to be a lot better relationship, right? And like you said, you're going to make more money. You're going to have an easier life. You're not going to stress as much if a client makes a decision that you don't like. You know, if you have their best interest in mind, then you can let all that go and say, well, they made the decision. This is how it's going to go. I'm not responsible for, you know, as long as I communicated well their choices.
And personally as well, you'll take home when you go home in the evening, you know, you will feel much, much more fulfilled rather than just treating the animals only, because once you include the people in it, you really, really start changing lives, not just animals' lives, but people's lives. And when you change somebody's life, you internally, you cannot help but be changed yourself inside there as well. So when people are saying that my job isn't fulfilling, my job isn't satisfying, it's like, how? We're given this huge, amazing, rare opportunity to be in a position of power of taking a look at somebody's pet who has this unique bond with them that even we can't replicate. And we can change, we're affecting them. How can you not? You may not feel magical, because if you're only focusing on the animal, if you totally leave the human out of it, that's where you may just be like, oh, it's not a cat with an abscess. It's not a dog with hypothyroid. It's not a cat
well,
with diabetes.
And I want to remind people too that oftentimes you don't know how you affect people. Like, I've had clients come back to me years later and say, do you remember when X, Y, and Z happened? That you were so helpful, you made it so much easier, you know, whatever it is. Euthanasia is once in a while you hear that, but a lot of times you don't know that you're affecting them. So you just have to believe that you are. And once in a while you'll get that feedback. Somebody will give you a good review or call you up and say how helpful you were, but you are affecting them.
Yeah,
in a
definitely.
profound
And I
way.
think you're totally right, Julie. And I think the most important thing is that you have to start with the want to affect them in the first place.
Right.
If you do not even have that want, as in I'm only here for the animal, not for you, that's
Right.
where we start off badly. But
And that's
you
why
have
you
a
hate your
basic,
job, right?
exactly, but you have a basic want to say that not only am I going to get this animal better, I'm going to make your life better because of how you're to by acknowledging, embracing, and respecting the bond you have with your pet, and being able to assure you if you're doing the right thing that you are doing the right thing. If you're doing the wrong thing, I know you have the best intentions, but maybe some things can be changed. If you address that bit as well, not just an animal's medical condition, but that starts with a want. You have to want to do it. Because
Right.
if not, it is very easy to say, oh yeah, a cat is XYZ needs ABC. If there isn't that basic want in the first place. And
Well,
all
and
I'm saying
people
is
can
that.
feel that. People can feel if you care about them and care about if you're passionate about that relationship and you're just doing a job. Like they can feel that. And I would
Exactly.
encourage people that if you feel like you're having trouble embracing this concept or feeling like you want to help people rather than pets, is to, do some introspection, get with a coach or a therapist and figure out what's going on in your head. Like you said originally, get yourself straight and that will help you communicate. And if you really haven't learned how to communicate with clients, get with another veterinarian that's good at it. I used to listen through the door at one of my bosses when I was young because he was really good at communicating with people. And so I would listen to what he said and how he said it and how his tone was and tried to replicate that in my own way, so it was honest, right? But if you feel like you don't have the skill of communication with clients, you can learn it. Doesn't matter if
Absolutely.
you're introverted or extroverted or smart, like you're the smartest vet or the vet that just skated by, it's like you can, this is a skill that you can learn, right?
That's totally true. I think that's one key point to for everyone to take home, really, because some people, they are very easy to say, oh yeah, he's just a better communicator than me. I'm just not very good at talking. That can be learned if you want to. The basic want still has to be there. Obviously, you got to put in work for it, but just
Right.
like any other skill, like learning what does a crab cycle do, it can be learned.
Right,
So,
right. Absolutely.
if we can learn all the different sort of diabetes, we can definitely know how to communicate because it is a skill,
Yeah,
just different principles, and then you put it
right.
on.
And even how to read people better so you have a better idea of where they're going and what questions to ask. Like that's all a skill. And, I feel like through my career, I got better and better and better at it just by doing it and trying to do it and
Absolutely.
caring and looking at the results that I got. I'm like, well, that didn't go well. Maybe I need to say this differently next time, And that's kind of what it's all about, is that's how to get better and better at it, right?
And I think the fundamental thing is because you care. You have to care. Because,
Right.
and it really, really comes down to that when you really, really, truly care, even though your approach may be clumsy, people can still see that, ah, you're trying to ask me something because you actually care. And they can see past that. But if you don't care and you're just going through a script, they'll know it immediately.
Right.
You and I both know that everyone knows that, there's this little feeling you have heard somebody talk to you before. You know they're scripting and you know they don't really care. They're just
Politicians,
going
right?
through it. Yeah, exactly. But sometimes when they care, but they're just struggling to find the words, but you're still patient with them because they actually want to find out more. And you can ask the most obtuse question. If you care, it's okay. For example, if there is sort of a if the dog comes in lame, you can ask your guardian, how do you feel about this? Nothing to do with the dog. It's
Right.
just, how do you feel about this? Then the guardian is like, what do you mean? I mean, yeah, I'm a bit worried. And you can
Yeah.
ask, why are you worried?
Right.
Literally asking those questions. It's
Yeah.
like, what do you mean,
Sometimes
what
they'll
I'm
say it's
worried?
the money. Like some people will be worried about the money. Some people will be worried about their lifestyle. Some people will be worried about the pet's pain. Like they're going to say different answers.
Exactly, and that would help you to understand more where the worry is coming from. Some would say that I had a dog before they died of leg cancer in the bone. That's what they were, oh, my dog is not, it's the same sign. Is it going to die like my last dog? If you
Right.
know all these little integrities, you're able to help the pet guardian more. Because if that was a cruciate, then you just said, look, listen, I know it may have the same lameness, same signs as the last dog, but that was bone cancer. It's a lot to jump to bone cancer at this moment in time when it's
Right.
first presented lameness. So don't worry about that. Let's try this first. No. So even when you try whatever, the dog got better, but you have also addressed the guardian's concern. They said, I understand your concern. I'm asking you not to worry right now. Coming from a position of power as a MRCVS or a DVM is more powerful than they're finding on Facebook some comments saying, oh, don't worry, my dog has got this, my dog has got that. Well, they're not qualified at all. So that's why I'm saying that we're in such a position of power to be able to give such useful information to the pet guardian that's not related to the animal.
Right.
If we chose to, if we wanted to, if we spent a little more time because we care.
Right.
You only do that if you care. You won't be doing that if you don't. You'll just be like, what are you going on about? Let me just sort the dog out. You're just worrying. But we're not really addressed his concern, isn't it?
Yeah. That's amazing. What I'm talking about.
Embracing humanity through vet medicine.
I love that. Yeah. It is about humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we don't want to believe that, right? So is there anything we want to add to this conversation about communicating with our teams? Or is it the same concept? You have to care
it's
about
the same
them.
Principle. If you truly care, the questions
that's
that
all,
you ask
that's all
is
there
a kind
is,
of more,
right?
I suppose, you know, a good phrase to remember is, and this is not from me as well, is seek first to understand before wanting to be understood.
Right.
Before you try to put an idea onto someone else's face, you have to understand where they're coming from first to see whether your idea is even relevant or not.
Right. And that goes for your team, the people you're leading, as well as the clients.
Absolutely. You must ask before you start giving advice. I mean, they always say, you know, smart people have great answers. Wise people have great questions.
That's wonderful. I
So
love
you
that.
Ask them first, like, why are you here? What do you need? What do I want? What do you want? Okay,
what are
when
they
you tell
trying
them
to get out of
exactly
their
what
job?
they want,
Right.
Then you say that, okay, if you want this, that's what I can offer you, rather than saying that this is what we offer, blah, 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 blah. It's almost like a sales pitch without bringing up whether they're even qualifying for the sale or not.
Well, and I feel like if you really care about your team, especially as a leader, they're going to work harder for you. They're going to stay longer. They're going to work harder. They're going to be more open when you make a mistake. They're going to forgive. Because as leaders, you're going to screw stuff up, right? And if you can go back and say, you know, I didn't handle that well, they'll forgive you if they know you really care about them.
I think there's the old adage that says they don't care how much that you know, as long as they know that you care.
Right.
So
you know how much you
it
care.
Works for
Everything.
Clients, it works for your team. It's humanity, really, through veterinary medicine.
I love
So,
that.
Same thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is there anything else we need to add to this conversation about communication? Because we're going to record another podcast for you about self-care, I believe, is our next subject. So we can sign off here, and then we'll be back next week with another podcast on how to care for yourself, huh?
Sure. Yeah, that's fine. Just one last say.
Yeah,
And
did we miss anything about communication?
If you're interested to learn more sort of obvious tips and things like that in terms of communication, it is, I'm not trying to flog it, but it is
no,
written in the book.
Seriously,
So,
your book and my book similar, I have areas in there on how to work on yourself in order to be better at communication. So yeah, absolutely. Your book is called Vet for Life. And you can find it on Amazon, right? That's where I found
that's
it.
Right. It's available Kindle, Audible, and
And tell people how they can get a hold of you if they want to.
Well, certainly the usual channels. You can find me on Facebook and LinkedIn. So Lennon Fu. And
if they have a question or they want to talk to you about something, or they read your book and they want to give you a good review and tell you how well written it is.
Any feedback is great. I welcome
all
feedback.
Exactly. Well, I say if you have a good review, let me know. If you don't let me know. But I say that
no,
I
I
say
welcome
that
all
joking.
Feedback.
I say that jokingly. But anyway.
Anything I do to improve, to provide more value, I'll be interested.
Absolutely. Okay, well, let's wrap this podcast up. This is Dr. Lennon Fu. I really appreciate you listening, and I appreciate him being here talking about communication, and we'll be back again next week talking about self-care. Have a beautiful week, everyone. Bye, Lennon.